So I want to talk this morning, like I said in my prayer, it's a real simple yet profound message, because it's the way I operate, I'm analytical, which has a strength and a weakness like anything else, and I always analyze, okay, I always back up and ask why, and where does it fit in the big picture of in general, especially the things of God. So this message came to me. Someone delivered this, and it really resonated with my heart, and I just wanted to pass it on to you. So let's get point number one up there. This one's a doozy, all right? So this is amazing. God's this is one of like Pastor Drew's points. It's profound and wordy, right, brother? God's ultimate purpose for creation was to provide a bride for his son as an eternal companion that he would rule and reign together with her forever. That's a big one, right? That's like a whole weekend conference, you know what I mean? So we'll say it again. And you can write it down. You can just stare at it. You can ask God for help understanding it. But like I said, it's simple. It's heart knowledge that we're after today. We're not going to go through a ton of scriptures. We're just gonna let God remind us of who we are and remind us of His plan for His bride. God's ultimate purpose for creation was to provide a bride for his son as an eternal companion. Eternal companion. That means forever, right? That's the bridegroom, Jesus, would rule and reign together with her, that's us, forever. Amen? Let's go ahead and go straight to point number two. We're going to spend most of our time on point three. So, point number two is we were made in his image so that we could interact with him and have a deep relationship with him. We're going to go straight to the beginning. The book of beginnings is the book of Genesis. And I love Genesis, especially 2 and 3. Especially 2, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, God is so faithful and he means what he says and does so much so that everything he established in the beginning, he never deviated from that. So when we look at the beginning of Genesis, the first couple of chapters, and especially before man sinned, and then God had to, catch God off guard, But things changed. Our relationship with him changed. But if we especially go before, all the way, the way he created it, creation, man, woman, then we will know what his heart is. We know what his will is. Amen? So, actually, and before we go into Genesis 2, I want to, let's go up to Ephesians 5:32. Nice. Ephesians 5:32 needs some context, but we're going to pull it out real quick. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So whatever, does anybody know what... Does anybody know what the context before and after those verses is in Ephesians 5? Husbands and wives. Husbands and wives. Right? A lot of people, like we've had the Love and Respect conference here, and he pulls out of this actual context. And I mentioned it Wednesday when I spoke, but this is the verse that I was referencing. This is a great mystery. He's talking about husbands and wives. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So we're going to look today, and even when he made Adam and Eve, they were an example of Christ and his church. So that's what we're going to look at today. Amen? All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Oh, my goodness. You got a new Bible and pages stick together. All right, verse 25. And they were both. No, that's not. Verse 20. Sorry, verse 20. I went to the end first. 20 through 25. My fault. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. Everyone has a purpose. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you have a purpose. Tell your other neighbor, I have a purpose. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." It sounds like I just read a passage from a wedding, right? And it's absolutely appropriate. So what I want to talk about today is Adam is a type. A type is something that is an example or a model of before the actual anti-type happens. And Adam is a type of Christ. Adam is a type of God's son. He was formed from the dust of the ground. He was formed and God was his father. And he was placed into this place called Eve. It's a paradise. Everyone say paradise. So when Adam was placed there, he had his purpose. He named all the animals. We just read that. He named them based on their function. He didn't just go to popular baby names, you know, and just name them and go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, elephant, you know. Like, he looked at it and was like, ooh, elephant, you know, however that dawned on him, he named them based on their purpose, okay? So Adam is a type of Christ, and this is a type of what I said in point one is God always had a plan for Christ, who is God's son, to have an eternal bride. Who do you think that is? That's Eve. So, well, Eve in this story, and that's us. So let's look at point three. Point three is Eve is a picture of the bride of Christ being joined to the bridegroom, Jesus, relating to him in intimacy with no shame. And that's where it comes to us and as individuals, part of this bride. There is a... today's message is really all about what God's plan is in our relationship with him, because that was his plan from the beginning. We are part of the bride of Christ, and the way God intended Eve to relate to her bridegroom, Jesus, or Adam, is the way God has called us to relate to Jesus, and the love and the leadership and the honor and respect and all that Jesus, or I'm sorry, Adam gave to Eve, that is what Jesus has done for us. You know, I was talking on Wednesday about love, the Father's love, and how his love for us changes things. And I love Remy back there. Turn around and wave to Remy. He's on the camera over there, that young man. A few weeks ago, we had a praise night, and I had the honor of baptizing, being in the baptismal for praise night, and I love what Remy said. He, because every time somebody gets baptized, they have an opportunity to share what they want to share about. Do you love Jesus? And they can answer, they can share, they can just say yes, and we baptize them. But Remy said, I love him because he first loved me. And that is the key. That is the gospel. That is what we carry. That's what we walk in, and that's what is evangelistic to people outside of these walls, in our families, when we go to our family get-togethers, in our workplaces, in the marketplace. Amen? Yes, amen. So that's what we want to take home today as we realize where we fit in this plan. Because it's so easy to get into. It's so important, and Pastor Jude does an awesome job of bringing practical examples of how we need to live. Take the Word of God and apply it to our lives. And that's where my brain comes in and goes, yes, absolutely. And yet, how does this all relate to my relationship with God? And so that's kind of what I wanted to bring today, is just how that all fits in God's plan. And so God's plan is intimacy with him. Amen? What I want you guys to notice in... all right, so look at verse 21. Can you guys go to Genesis 2:21? So... The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. This is the gospel. Now remember, Adam is a type of who? Jesus Christ. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. How does that relate to Jesus? He died for us. And that was he spent 3 days in the belly of the earth, right? And he paid our punishment for us. He was gone for a few days, right? And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh. So the picture here is that God pierces the side of Adam, or takes, doesn't use the word pierce, but I mean, how do you take a rib out of a body? You go into the side, and he pulls the rib out. That's a picture of what Jesus went through on the cross. That's a picture of how he shed his blood. And then at the end of that, he slept. And then he closed up the flesh in its place. Next verse. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. So Jesus... He's pierced in his side. He sheds every ounce of his blood for the joy set before him. Hebrews 12:2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He looked ahead at what the Father was doing to prepare a bride for him, which was always his plan, and he didn't deviate. He had to make changes. Right? He had to provide the Lamb of God who died for our sins, but his plan was always to create a bride for his son, point one, right? So then he raises him from the dead. Back to Genesis. He raises him from the dead, and out of this act of the gospel of this rib being taken out, or Jesus' side being pierced, and he dies for our sins, and then he raises from the dead, that's where we come into be part of his bride. We become the bride of Christ. We become betrothed or ready to marry Jesus because of what he did for us. We learn about his love for us, and then we respond and we become connected. He who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit, and we get connected with this one who's our husband, who's our lover, and we start relating to him, and we'll get into that. Next verse, verse 23. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." So there's something about, go back to verse 23. So verse 23, Adam recognizes something in this woman. He's never met her before, but he recognizes something in her because she's made in the same image, and they're connected. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman because she was taken out of man." Verse 24. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Thanks, brother. Hallelujah. All right, we laid the foundation. Amen. In Ephesians 5, it talks that we saw that verse. It talks about how this is a profound mystery. Can you put that one up again, please? Ephesians 5. "This is a great or a profound mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So this connection between the marriage relationship between a man and a woman and our relationship with Christ, this intimacy that God has intended, this closeness, this interacting with each other without shame, naked and without shame, is God's plan. So it just reminds me of I just look at it and I want to be intimate with God. We all do. We all have this desire to have this intimacy. What is intimacy? I heard one person say, "Intimacy is into me." See, when we're able to not hold anything back from our Heavenly Father, when He's able to relay His whole heart to us, and we receive it, and He relays His whole heart, or we relay our whole heart back to Him, that's intimacy. And and the opposite of intimacy, or one of the biggest hindrance to intimacy, is shame. And shame is when we believe we are uniquely and fatally flawed. In other words, something is wrong with me in such a way that's maybe not wrong with somebody else. So there's an isolation that can come, saying there's something wrong with me. I'm messed up. I can't be fixed, or I need God to fix me, and I don't, you know, and there's this hopelessness that comes. And that is so prevalent in our culture. People are committing suicide at record rates, and that's a big reason. You know, when you think you're messed up and no one can help you, and you're jacked up, then unfortunately that's what the enemy tells people. And just end it, because there's no hope. And so it's so important for us to remember and to pass on to other people that we were made to relate to God and, first of all, let me ask you guys this question. If and when you fail, do you turn to God or do you turn away from God? You don't have to say it up. These are all rhetorical questions. Sorry, I forgot to say that. So I have a couple more that can kind of measure where we're at in this knowledge of the big picture of, okay, where am I as a member of this bride like Eve? I'm part of this bride of Christ. I'm part of this. There's this, when you look at Revelation 1 and 2, there, this bride of Christ will be presented to this bridegroom, Jesus, and it will be an amazingly glorious day. And by the way, he is not going to look at us and go, oh man, is that all? That's, no, he we looked at it on Wednesday. Because that's another picture, what I showed you on Wednesday, that in Song of Solomon, where this bridegroom is speaking and interacting with the Shunammite woman, and that's another type of Christ as the bridegroom, and this and the Shunammite woman is as the bride of Christ, and there's this interaction there, and Jesus, to use the Song of Songs as the connection with us, Jesus looks at us and calls us beautiful. And it's just, his heart is just imagine that picture, maybe when you got married, or that picture of when, you know, that's why the ceremony comes, like the bridegroom looks and sees a beautiful bride, and there's excitement, there's joy, there's anticipation. That's how Jesus will look at us. Everyone say, me. Tell your neighbor, you're beautiful. So, how confident are you, another rhetorical question, how confident are you that God loves you in your weakness? You know, I remember being in Bible college, and I would mess up, and like Pastor Tamer was saying, I messed up, and I would be, you know, and whether I had apologized to God or not yet, or I was going to, but God would visit me in those moments, and his presence would be so sweet and so rehabilitating that it would always throw me off, because I related to God on performance. And I thought I should feel more of his presence when I was doing better, right? When I was performing better for God and serving him more and following the commandments. And it would throw me off. I'd mess up. And then his presence would come in a stronger way often than when I was doing good. And there is this idea. I feel like I'm sure he was trying to communicate to me, Paul. See, God loves us because of who he is. He doesn't love us. It's a whole different scale for him. He looks at you and me, and he calls us beautiful and amazing, and he's thrilled in his heart. He has joy and delight. Zechariah says that he rejoices over us with singing and dancing. Not when we get all dressed up and come to church, not only then, and we've gone through all levels of Academy of Righteousness and we've been walking with God and dealt with some of our sins. That's not when he does that. In fact, that's when we have to be careful that we don't get on our scale of what, I'm better now, I'm a better Christian than I used to be, so God's going to love me more now, or God's going to interact with me more now. Yes, sin separates. The wages of sin is death. But it's so important for us to get back and stay back on his scale. His scale is that we have value, we have love, and we are called to have intimacy, relating to God with our hearts, hearing his heart. So when Pastor Drew preaches a message and we start treating somebody better, that is absolutely crucial, but it's crucial on so many levels. It's crucial because the way we treat people is the way we treat ourselves, because we're all made in God's image. It's crucial because how can I love God, or how can I love God whom I have not seen, if I don't love people who I do see? So it does, and that's where that connection is, and I believe is so important. It is for me anyway, to remember that the way I live life, it is affecting this relationship with the one that I will be presented to as a member of his bride, and he will rejoice over. That motivates me to want to get closer to Him. And as I know His love, and as I know what His plan is for me, it motivates me to deal with my stuff that I need to deal with. And to get, see, the Bible says that in the last days, the bride will make herself ready. That means, it's prophetically, that there are millions, hopefully billions of people, but there are many, 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 many people who are hearing the message of God's love. And the message of God's love does not cause me to want to do the opposite of that person who loves me. Where did that come from? It's like Pastor Drew was just saying during offering. You know, I mean, let me ask you a question. So if you were a close friend of mine, we hung out, some of you are, and you went to go buy a new car, would it be smart to buy a smart car? I meant to have the media team, like, put up a picture of a smart car. All right, here's the smart car. Here's the back of it, and there's the front of it. All right, there's the smart car. All right, slight exaggeration. Actually, my friends over here, I'll brag on my friends over here, the Wests. They are so awesome that when they go out, God blesses them with the means to buy a new vehicle. They're like, Brian says, well, we couldn't buy that car because Pastor Paul wouldn't fit in that, so we went and we bought this car. That's love. Is that love? Right? That's love. I mean, not everyone has to do that. I can drive sometimes. You know what I mean? I got a nice, big, giant car. But do you see what I'm saying? When you recognize that person who's poured their love out to you loves you so much, the bride will make herself ready. So I want to identify that in that moment of weakness, in that moment of shame, I want to recognize that, wait a minute, I am part of the bride of Christ. I am going to be presented to my bridegroom. He's not just my master. He's not just my creator. He's my lover. Man, it took me a long time to be comfortable with some of those words. I remember I was at a house for us with Carlos, and he was doing laundry. He was staying over for a while, and he was doing laundry, and he says, hey, Pastor Paul, come be with me, you know? And I was like, come be with you? What you talking about? That's weird. Now I love being with that guy, man. He's my guy. Now watch this. And I used to make fun of people who watch Hallmark Christmas movies. And now I do, all right? So I confess. Mark, all right. Praise God, I'm not alone. There's another manly man right there that loves that stuff. But, you know, it's a journey of being comfortable in love, because there's no shame. Naked and without shame. Naked and without shame. It's so important, because for me, I carried shame for a long, long time. And when you have shame, it's difficult to receive love, because I don't deserve it. I messed up. But I don't deserve it. And then if I don't receive it, how can I give it? How can I relate to my brothers or even the Lord on a level of love, real love? That's why the Bible says don't lie against the truth. We're all in a journey of becoming more true. Our actions, our thoughts, our motives, becoming more true with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love that He's put inside of us. And when we lie against it and portray ourselves to be something at a level that we're not, that's the influence of religion. And it's another thing that will hinder intimacy. You don't see, that's why the Pharisees are ticked off when this woman comes into a room and throws herself, a woman who in their mind, all they can do is talk about how dirty and messed up she is. So they convey shame. Religion will convey shame. That's why it's the enemy of God, the spirit of religion. Not pure religion. In James, there's pure religion. But then you can look at that and notice how it fits into what I'm talking about. Pure religion, undefiled, is to take care of the widows and the orphans. And to keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's not calling, that's not looking down at somebody. That's the opposite. That's helping somebody who's less fortunate. That's the season for that, amen? When we give, there's one of my verses in there, but when we give and we sacrificial love, like when Joshua, I just saw that in that soldier video, with the sacrificial love, when we give, there's a freedom that comes. There's a deliverance from self. Shame has a preoccupation. Shame has a preoccupation with failures, with shortcomings. And therefore, it can make that person focus on themselves, because after all, I'm uniquely and fatally flawed. I need to focus on all the ways that I can get better, but I'm not going to receive love from the only one that can actually see into me if I let him, and therefore his love transform me. I can't receive that. Therefore, I have to focus on how I can get better, how I can better myself. And it didn't work. That thing didn't work. So let me go and do this. Let me go to that conference. Let me have that healing evangelist pray for me. Let me. And then that didn't work, and that didn't work. And do you know there are people in the church, not just outside of the church, all over, who are losing hope? And the answer is the simplicity of the love of God. And not just the love of God. Not, you know, I was evangelizing with one of the youth years ago, and we walked down the street, and his heart was beautiful. But he was like, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, to every single person. And I was trying to help him say, wait a minute, hold on. What does your heart want to say to that person? Is that from your heart, or are you just being like a robot? So I was mentoring him on that, because sometimes it needs to be a connection. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's the journey that we as believers are on. So maybe we can look at evangelism in a different way. It's not always, I mean, I've done that, and I've been nervous just like anybody else. Okay, time to go. I got my tracks. You know, I got my mints. You know, I got my bottle of water, and let's go. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. And I'm not making fun of it, because I've done it, and I love it. I love street evangelism. But I've also done it, and it felt like it was a performance. Like, wait a minute. I was in Pasadena once, and I was praying. We were praying for this woman. We were doing a treasure hunt. We've done treasure hunts here. And we were looking for this. The God gave us woman. He gave us with children and this and that. He gave us some things. And so we were in this grocery store, and we were looking for a woman with a child that, you know, that fit these things that God had given us as a word of knowledge. And we found, and we talked to a couple of women that didn't want prayer. So we kept going, and the person I was with said, hey, what about her? So I see this nice woman with her child, and I said, hey. And I said, oh, well, you got the word. Do you want to talk? No, you talk to her. I said, okay. And I just said, can we pray for you for anything? And she said, I always need prayer. And, you know, when we prayed for her, he prayed for her, because I made him pray first. And then I prayed, and God just showed me this beautiful tiara, you know, that a princess would wear. And this beautiful tiara was being placed on her head. And I said, you know what? And I started tearing up, and he started tearing up. God says, you're his princess. I see him putting a tiara on you. And he just loves you so much. And we finished our prayer, and we walked off. And you know, it wasn't what I could get out of the situation. I didn't do that so I could tell you about it. I didn't do that so I could tell the people. I did it because I didn't do it so I could pad. Oh, I led someone. I didn't even lead her to the Lord. I don't know what she did with it. But it brought love, and it brought identity on her in a world that is so craving that right now, because they look at so many people in the church. And I'm not bashing on the church. I'm just saying, because we need to relate to God in this way so that they want to know what we are here to give, what we're here to bring. They're in the desert just thirsty for accepted and acceptance. And the Bible says that we are accepted in the beloved. All right, I gotta wrap up. We're gonna pray. Stay for next service. I'll do the foundation faster, and we'll get to the better stuff. Let's just wrap up with 1 John 3, verse 20. It says, "Whenever our hearts make us feel guilty and remind us of our failures, we know that God is much greater." Everyone say, "God is greater." And he's more merciful than our conscience, and he knows everything there is to know about us. See that intimacy, that looking into us? He knows it. Do I allow him to know it? That's why we talk about a Wednesday, but it's not how much I know God, but how much God knows me. That brings me into relationship with him. Okay, my delightfully loved friends, when our hearts don't condemn us, we have a bold freedom to speak face to face with God. That is God's plan, verse 21. My delightfully loved friends, when our hearts don't condemn us, we have a bold freedom to speak face to face with God. That confidence, the New King James Version calls it the confidence with toward God. And whatever we ask of him, we receive, because we keep his commands. And by our beautiful intentions, we continue to do what brings pleasure to him. And it's found in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we just come before you, and I just pray for each one of us. Help us to identify with this amazing big plan that you have, that we are part of this bride, that for eternity your plan was to present an amazing, beautiful bride to your son as a companion, so that we can rule and reign together with him. Oh, there's so much that you have for us. So much that you have for us, not just in this life. I know that there's so many, I hear so many questions about what are we going to do in heaven. We're going to rule and reign. We're going to continue to make things better all around us in an intimate relationship with our bridegroom. There's so much that you have for us. We're coming back to this earth. We're gonna just partner with you in whatever else you want to do. We're gonna go right back to what you intended in the beginning. And this time, we're not gonna mess it up. This time, we're not gonna mess it up, because we're not gonna believe a lie that Eve believed, that you weren't good, that you were withholding something from her. We're not gonna be like Adam, who stood right by and chose her over God. And when you come to us and you say, "Where are you?" we're not going to hold one thing back from where we are in our hearts, where we are in our motives, where we are in our frustrations, where we are in anything that the enemy wants us to believe that we're uniquely and fatally flawed. We're not going to withhold any of that. We're going to bring it to you. Father, help us to start that now. That shame is under our feet. And yet it's not something that we just step on. It's something that we get out with someone that we know loves us in a safe community. And we present that. And when that thing of darkness is exposed to the light, oh, it has no power against the light. Darkness has no power compared to the light. No power. So, Father, I pray and call for things as the Spirit of God leads each believer here to bring forth those hidden things of shame, you called it in your word. The hidden things of shame, that they'll no longer be hidden. They'll come up to you, and then they'll come up, before other people as you lead us, and they will lose their power so that we can relate to you with greater intimacy, because that is your will, that's your plan. I also pray, Father, for every single marriage here, because as we can see in this, the truth this morning, that every marriage is a representation of the gospel and the love that God has for us. And I pray for strength, intimacy, a closeness with Jesus and each other like never before. I thank you that you, which began a good work in each couple and each individual here, you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.
The first point that Pastor Paul had, that there is this relationship, there's supposed to be this intimacy, and you can see that all through the Word. I mean, you can unpack it a lot in an hour, but that is a thread all through your Bible. It is so true. Here's what the Lord, I tied this thing around my finger. Who knows what that means when you do this? You're supposed to remember something. And I asked Vegas, please bring me a piece of string. Because as Pastor Paul was talking on that first point of this intimacy that is supposed to be, and then he said, you know, people become hopeless. You know what? And listen, we walk around in miserable lives, unhappy. We walk around sometimes people take their lives. We walk around hurting other people, you know what, and doing all kinds of things. And if we were intimate with the Lord, are you getting the air off? Yeah, it's getting cold in here. If we were intimate with the Lord, if somebody is not loving to me, I could shake that off, because really, what more do I need but that he loves me? You know what I mean? And so when you don't value me, and that begins to hurt, because that hurts, you know what I mean? People want to be valued. People want to be loved. People want to be respected. So when people in our lives don't do that, and that happens to us all the time, from coworkers to family members all over the place, you even strangers, sometimes on the road, I'm just amazed. It's like, calm down. What is the matter with you people out there, right? It can, all that rage that can be out there. It's like, hey, calm down. You know what I mean? So it happens to us all the time, where there's these assaults on kind of who we are and what we're doing. You know what? And that can become very hurtful. But if we'll take that hurt to Jesus, in other words, when that hurt comes, to just say, well, Lord, you love me. You think I'm amazing. You value me. If we'll put that salve of truth on that wound, because these wounds come to us, right? If we'll put the antidote on that to understand who we are to him, and how valuable we are in spite of whatever anyone else thinks, we stay healthy and we stay whole and we stay being able to bring the love of God to other people, because we have it. Does that make sense? So people won't show us love, and so we become wounded. And then from those wounds, we end up wounding. But what if when we don't feel loved, or we don't feel that we measure up or whatever, that we remember the truth? Here's the deal. If we would just understand, remember last week, or was it last week? I don't know, because I was sick, so I don't even know. I think it was last week when I talked about the Bible. I quoted the scripture that it says that we must believe that God is a rewarder. We must believe that God is a good God. And if we believe that, you know what? We can't get all jacked up. Does that make sense? Remember, I talked about my job and I wanted something. See, I could have said, I guess I'm just not worthy. I guess they just don't think that I'm valuable. You know, I could have started getting all messed up with that. You know what I mean? I guess you don't want to reward me, God. Oh my goodness, you're not there for me, God. How come you're not there for me, God? I could have gone 100 different directions with that, but I didn't. I just said, well, you know what, God? I put my hope and trust in you. You know what I mean? You're my provider. Nobody else. I mean, I didn't get messed up. You know why? Because I'm intimate with God. I understand. I stay in position with God. What is my position with God? My position with God is I can do nothing to make him love me more. Do you understand that? He loved me, back to Remy, what a beautiful statement, when I didn't love him. He unconditionally loves us. He just does. Now, he measures our love for him by our obedience to him. Our obedience to him is not about his love for us. Do you see the difference? Big difference. There's nothing I can do more to make him love me more. There's nothing I can do to make him love me less. He just loves me, all of me, all the time. I'm the apple of his eye. And whether I'm walking stronger than I ever have with him, or whether I'm lost and messed up, guess what? So then I stop trying to perform for God. I'm not trying to perform for God's love. I have God's love all the time. Now, I guess, say it this way, I guess I do perform that God would know that I love him. Does that make sense? Different, way different. Do you understand that? Knowing this keeps me whole. Chasing, trying to do things so that he would love me, leaves me broken. I end up just broken. You know why? I can never achieve. You know what I'm saying? You know what? We need the blood of Jesus. Back to the beginning of our service. We need times of repentance that we just say, forgive me, Lord. Oh, I just lost it right there. Oh, forgive me. You know what I mean? Cleanse me. Lord, I was so selfish right there. Forgive me. Cleanse me. I don't know why I just thought that about that person, Lord. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Do you see what I'm saying? I constantly am needing to be forgiven and cleansed. And I'm not talking about, you know what? We are to be ye perfect as the Lord is perfect. I'm not talking about, you know what, constantly living a life of sin. I'm talking about, you know what, dealing with our heart on a regular basis, because you know what I'm talking about, because you're just like me. You know what I mean? You got your flesh and I got my flesh. And my flesh has to be reminded of who I am in Christ Jesus. And so don't take all that on you. If we'll just remember this, we stay so healthy. We personally stay healthy. We bring health to anyone within a radius of us. And we stop letting the enemy dictate to us who we are based on other people's imperfections and their need that they have. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm just juggling a whole handful of stuff, but intimacy with God. It was the whole point from the beginning. It's all he's ever wanted is a relationship with you. And so if nobody else does, it's okay. Really? I mean, if we'll get the truth, what more do we need? Amen. What more do we need? That's what we need. And in this, we live and move and have our being, and we're whole. That's right. Amen. And I'm doing this ridiculous thing because I want you guys to leave here today, because you're going to leave here, and life is going to be life out there, right? You're going to encounter someone at the store or at home or wherever you're going to encounter them. Yeah, yeah. And I want you to just remember this. Because if we remember this, we get through all of it. We get through all of it. And we deal with ourselves too, because, man, the more intimate I am with God, believe me, the better I look, the better I talk, the better I treat people, the better I everything. Because if I've got this intimacy, I'm a different person. So how many of you can say, man, I'm a way different person than I was without Jesus? You know what I mean? I mean, I've seen people, it's like, wow, wow, Jesus is amazing. Wow, how he changes us if we allow him to do that. How do we allow him to do that? Not by trying to be perfect for him, because he loved us when we weren't perfect. This means unconditional love of God. This is the unconditional love of God for you. And there's nothing you can do to take it away. There's nothing you can do to take it away. And as we do what the word instructs us to do, that's us loving God. Because he already loved us, just like Remy said. That is so good. Thank you. That is a complicated thing to hold on to, I felt like.